For marketing agencies and social media managers looking to prove the value of their work, I've got something special for you. Agora Pulse is not only Social Media Examiner's tool of choice as an all-in-one social media management tool, it also allows you to track the traffic, conversion, and revenue from every social post, comment, and private message. Learn how to prove your social media ROI with a free training or a free trial by visiting agorapulse.com/SME today. Again, agorapulse.com/SME.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here's your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by socialmediaexaminer.com. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know what works with social media. I am totally excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by the queen of Facebook, Mari Smith, and we're going to explore some very important changes to the Facebook newsfeed. I also have a new discovery that I'm going to share with you right now and an exciting announcement. But first, let's start with that discovery.
Helping you stay alive in the social jungle, here's this week's survival tip.
I'm joined today by Eric Fisher, who's going to talk about a really cool tool that he recently discovered. Go for it, Eric.
All right. What I found was a tool called Grambler. That's G-R-A-M-B-L-R. And you might think that this is kind of a child made by Instagram and Tumblr, but it's not. It has nothing to do with Tumblr. It's just Instagram. What this does is it allows you from a desktop or laptop computer to upload a photo to Instagram, which is one of the things that I think has been one of the major frustrations I've seen from a lot of people working in social media is, how do I get a picture up onto Instagram, and how do I, especially for a business profile, when I'm using it for personal on my phone as well?
So the advantage here is that you could Photoshop it or put some words on top of it, you know, with Illustrator or something like that, and essentially push it into the live feed. I'm assuming it doesn't do scheduling. Is that a safe assumption?
Correct. Yeah, it's not for scheduling. It's for uploading and posting at times when, you know, you want to be able to get something on there, but it's not on your phone.
Awesome. Why don't you go ahead and say the name of that tool one more time?
Sure. It's Grambler, GRAMBLR.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
Did you know that we can deliver awesome marketing info directly into your inbox? Simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter that comes out 3 days a week. You won't miss any of the updates going on in the world of social marketing. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.
And with that, let's transition over to today's interview with Mari Smith.
Helping you simplify your social safari, here's this week's expert guide.
I'm very excited to be joined today by Mari Smith. If you don't know who Mari is, she's the world's leading Facebook marketing expert. She's authored the books, The New Relationship Marketing and Facebook Marketing An Hour a Day. And this is her fourth appearance on this show. And she's the only person that can claim that moniker. Mari, welcome to the show.
Awesome. I'm honored. Cool. What a moniker.
Well, and I think you might have been my very first guest, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're a couple years into this. So, Amazing. So today, Mari and I are going to explore what you need to know about marketing with Facebook, and in particular, the newsfeed. We're going to talk a lot about the newsfeed because there's been lots of things going on with the newsfeed that you need to know about. But before we get into the newsfeed, Mari, over the last months, there's been lots of trends that you likely see because you're in knee deep in the Facebook world in a way that I'm not and most of our listeners aren't. So where do you see things going? What are the trends that you see happening with Facebook, and what should marketers be thinking about over the next year when it comes to their marketing on Facebook?
Okie dokes. Well, over the next year, absolutely, marketers have to embrace that paid amplified posts is mainstream. There's just no getting away from it. Hey, if you got lucky and managed to have a really big page and that it's doing really well for you and you're reaching a lot of your audience organically, that's smashing. Good on you. But otherwise, I would say probably for 90% of businesses out there, they're going to have to bite the bullet and allocate some dollars to paid posts. Also, another trend I would say, we're going to touch on this a little bit more later in our chat here today, Mike, and that would be micro video for sure, but also micro video and user-generated content, everything that Facebook's doing with that. Mobile, you know, we've been talking about mobile going mainstream for years, and it already is mainstream, but I think that more we're going to see more businesses needing to ensure that obviously not only their ads effective in the mobile Facebook newsfeed, but that when people click on those, that they must have a mobile-friendly opt-in page or landing page or wherever they're driving people. And Facebook's also got some cool new things coming out that will help marketers to track mobile ads or ads on mobile using a new people-based marketing as opposed to cookie-based.
Well, I want to ask you a question that I hadn't prepared to ask you, but it's mm-hmm. coming up in my mind here. The concept of a community manager, you know, over the last few years, a lot of businesses have hired community managers to manage, in particular, their Facebook community. Mm-hmm. And now that it is more of a pay-to-play world, does the concept of a community manager still remain important? Said another way, for those that are just getting started with getting their new business or new divisions of their business onto Facebook, does the concept of Facebook community management matter anymore?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know what, Mike? I would say, if anything, it matters even more.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, here's the thing. Way back in the day, 2007, there was this saying that came out. I think it was really when the apps opened up, the API opened up, and all these apps, and then, you know, the beacon thing and all that. And people started squealing, oh my God, when the marketers move in, the members are going to move out. And so obviously that's, you know, 7 years ago, we've come a long way. Now, though, I just always feel like even though Facebook's clearly dominated this scene, they shouldn't rest on their laurels. Who knows if the membership is, you know, precarious or not. I think the masses will keep staying with Facebook. Nonetheless, they'll start to get Facebook fatigue if we do too much pushy sales, marketing, and just the general sentiment. So the antidote is those companies and brands that have warm, personal, real people responding. I mean, Facebook, I got to tell you, Facebook themselves, Facebook.com/Facebook, Facebook.com/marketing. If you go to those pages, Facebook's own managed pages, you will see that they have invested in community managers and are now responding. Visa is another good example, big major brand investing in community management that they didn't before a few years back. So if we watch these major brands, they're investing in community management as we move towards paid content. To me, that just sets them a world apart, you know, because ultimately people just want to be heard. They want to know somebody's listening. They want a response to their questions, especially if they've got, you know, not necessarily a complaint, but or they're having an issue, they're a challenge. They want to know that somebody's listening. So,
well, and for what it's worth, for those of you that are not big brands that are listening right now, Social Media Examiner is not really a big brand. And we have a full-time community manager, and we have at least two or three part-time community managers. And Facebook is one of the main areas that they work. So there still is a need to answer questions, and there still is a need to engage in dialogue with people. And I think sometimes us marketers forget about the fact that these are not just numbers out there, right? These are actually people, and people love interaction, don't they, Mari?
Absolutely. And that is, it's all people to people. I mean, this is just, you're talking just about something here just so close to my heart. This is the essence of relationship marketing, is going past the numbers and knowing that behind every number, every stat, every metric is a real human being with needs and wants and concerns and challenges and things that keep them up at night. And it's like, how can we be of best service to them? How can we relate to them as a real human being and not just always trying to, you know, get that next sale and close that next deal? I mean, those are important to focus on metrics, but focus on the people first, and it'll go a long way.
And before I dig into my next question, it's very important for everyone listening to understand that people buy from brands that they know, like, and trust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may like your content or they may like your product or service, but if they don't know the people, then there is just only so far that that affinity will go. But if they begin to understand that they're getting serviced by people that know and love them, then, you know, that does bring that fan level, if you will, to an entirely new level. Now, I don't want you to comment necessarily on that, Mari, because I know we have so much to cover. So let's transition, if you will, over to the newsfeed, because I know that this is one of the big concerns that so many people are freaking out about right now, which is, oh my gosh, I'm not getting, you know, the kind of response that I've gotten in the past. And I think, you know, you and I have previously spoken about this. I forget what episode it is, but you, me, and Jay Bear had a dialogue about this early on in this year, talking about the changes in the newsfeed. And I don't want to necessarily rehash why the newsfeed has changed, but I would like to instead get your thoughts because I think we know why it's changed, because Facebook needs to pay for this big network. But let's talk about strategy, because a lot of people right now are like, okay, how should I be thinking about how I use the new feed now that Facebook is a different world where clearly they're given preferential, you know, visibility to the consumers rather than the brands.
Right, right. Well, some of the changes, Mike, were certainly around links. And so on the newsroom.fb.com, people should definitely be paying close attention to that. That's where Facebook makes their announcements. They've got different sections. And a while back, they started this new series called Newsfeed FYI. And so anytime they make updates to the newsfeed, it's going to be under a post on their blog called Newsfeed FYI. And so, interestingly enough, you know, we're all about the images. So us marketers, we're all, okay, image posts. Posts with a photo are going to get the best visibility in the newsfeed. So we're trying all kinds of clever ways to circumvent the newsfeed ranking algorithm, which some people call edge rank. And so we obviously, you want to post a link, you want people to click through and read your blog, read your article, go to a sales page, an opt-in page, but using an image to do so with the link in the description, or a status update where you remove the preview, you X out the image and the title and the description. Facebook, of course, got clever to that. They're like, hey, wait a minute, folks. We're going to give you bigger image previews on your link posts. They call them native link posts. And that is when you type or paste a link into your publisher in the area where you publish posts on your page or profile. And then it automatically generates a preview with a large image. It's usually 1,200 by
630.
Is it 630? Okay, and I've seen 627.
Approximately. I'm rounding up.
Yeah, 630 is easier. They're not going to quibble over 3 pixels.
Right.
You're right, yeah. So it is, that's the ratio right there. Okay, so the beautiful thing about that is when that native link goes out in the post, you have a huge amount of space where people can click. They can click anywhere on the image, anywhere in the title, anywhere in the description, and they'll click through to whatever link you want them to click through. So that's one major change that Facebook have said, okay, hold on a minute, folks, here. Hold a minute. We see your game. We know you're trying to stuff links into your image posts and your status updates, but we're going to give those posts, those types of posts, less priority. We're going to give more priority to native links. And so my recommendation to marketers is to actually change up their posting strategy to integrate more links. But you're going to need to give yourself probably a minimum of 4 weeks to see any real change. If anything, you might even see initially your reach might even go down.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that Facebook has made it clear that they are going to give preferential newsfeed exposure to people that paste in a link and allow Facebook to pull in the image and the text over pasting in a link and uploading a picture. Is that correct?
Yeah, and just to be clear, because this does confuse people, let's just call them native links, because the native link is where it's pre-populated.
Right.
But people get confused because you could call it a thumbnail. People could upload a replacement thumbnail, and I think that confuses people versus uploading an actual photo, and it's a photo post. But yeah, okay, so you got it right. Your summary is absolutely correct.
Yeah, and just to clarify, what you're talking about is when you paste a link into, for example, a link at Social Media Examiner, we have pre-coded to tell Facebook, hey, this is the image we want to display. Mm-hmm. But anybody who administers a page could go ahead and say, let's go ahead and alter that image and upload an image of our own. That's still legit. But what's not legit is if we decide to upload an image as an attachment, is what I hear you saying, right? Like a photograph, for example. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That will get less preferential treatment according to Facebook in the long run. But what I heard you saying is that it might take a little while for that to take effect.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. Some of your clients.
Some of my clients and customers are saying, and students are saying, you know, oh gosh, oh, I tried that. I tried it for a few days and, you know, my reach went down. I'm like, hold on a minute. It's going to take a little bit of time to re-educate or reconfigure the algorithms.
Gotcha.
To notice a difference. But you don't want to do away. I mean, it's interesting you use the word legit. You don't want to completely abandon posting photos with links in there. I just would do a little bit less of those and a little bit more of the native link posts.
Now, when you're putting an update into Facebook, I think you can click on the little link icon or you can paste the link into the open text box. Does Facebook allow us, is it okay to put like a headline, a link, and then some text underneath it, and then underneath that have the Facebook summary box, if you will? Or should we remove that link that's manually there in the text box?
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, I usually remove it. As soon as Facebook pulls in the preview, I just call it a link preview with the thumbnail and the title and the description. Then I go ahead and I remove the link from the text box because it's already populated.
But it's not problematic to keep it as far as you understand, right? Because,
correct, yeah.
Because it could be beneficial for people because it's right there after your headline, potentially, you know, and depending on where you place it. So.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, good. So that's one thing that's, you know, new about the newsfeed that we need to know about. Is there any other things that we need to know about the newsfeed? Like I've heard recently about Facebook showing more timely news related stories.
Yep.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure thing. That's their latest update. Two things. One is called trending topics. And I know they're going head to head with Twitter and they're trending topics, but it makes sense. You got 1.3 billion people talking about stuff every day. So you may as well, pull up the things that are trending. Now, I don't know about you, but Facebook already has their trending topics. They're shown on your newsfeed in the top right hand side. I've barely even give it a glance. To me, they're more like mainstream news, you know, which I don't really pay a lot of attention to. But what they mean by the trending topics is they have a new signal of their many, many thousands and thousands of signals in these complex algorithm. And this single signal is the amount of time that passes between when you made your post and how quickly people start liking, commenting, and sharing. The faster people like, comment, and share, that signal tells Facebook, ooh, this is a hot topic. We're going to push it up the newsfeed and give it more visibility, more priority. In addition, tied to that, you remember back last year, they brought this new thing out called Story Bump. It was rather bizarre.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Story Bump is kind of...
Explain what that is real quick.
What that is let's say someone's flying through their newsfeed, mobile or desktop, and they miss a post down below, and it's, you know, a popular post or it's a post that your friends are interacting with, and you don't see it. So they're going to push it up the newsfeed next time you go to your newsfeed. So therefore, your top stories is not necessarily in chronological order. You might see something from, you know, a few hours ago ahead of something a few minutes ago because of that story bump feature. Well, an additional component of the story bump is this, I'm calling it post engagement timing. They're going to bump stories back up in the newsfeed if you haven't seen it yet and it got likes, comments, and shares really quickly after posting. Does that make sense?
It does, and I guess what I'm struggling with is how does that relate to the more timely newsfeed related stuff? Because that's the part I'm struggling connecting in my brain.
Well, the more timely newsfeed stuff, it depends. It all goes by the social signals. So if a bunch of your friends are commenting like crazy, liking, sharing on a specific piece of content, then that's trending, if you will. That's popular in your world.
Ah, it's not related to what's going trending on Facebook.
Correct.
For example, if an actor dies or something and everyone's talking about it and your brand gets in on it, it doesn't mean you're going to get extra play is what you're saying, right?
Mm-mm. I mean, it might, but no, the new trending topics is more, I mean, their description of it is basically that you can, quote, you can immediately know what your friends or favorite pages are saying about the stories of the day.
Aha, good. So it's kind of a play on story bump is what I hear you saying, but it's based on how frequently people are engaging with the post.
Well, that's the second component, because there's the trending topics. So those are the popular ones that people are, the faster people get comment and like and share on those, that's going to push up the newsfeed. And then the second component is they're also going to give more priority to older posts that then, if you haven't seen them, if they were in that like trending topics category, if you will. I can tell that it's just so darn complex here, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
I wish they had different ways of explaining it.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, because we do this at Social Media Examiner, I'm wondering like if there's some new announcement that's made by YouTube or Twitter or even Facebook, and we break the news on our Facebook wall. It seems like now they're, and people start sharing it like crazy. It seems like they're giving some sort of preferential treatment to that. Because people are sharing it like crazy is what I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And let's say you get 90% of your shares within the first hour, that will signal to Facebook, whoa, this is a really timely post. We're going to give it more newsfeed visibility earlier on, and then like as the day passes, as the hours go by, they'll give it less priority.
Interesting. Now, I know a lot of people have probably been using open-ended questions as a strategy to get engagement on their Facebook page. For example, what is your favorite blog or your favorite podcast or whatever, you know? Do open-ended questions still work as a way to get into the newsfeed? What are your thoughts on this?
They absolutely do, but the challenge I see is there are some pages that they catch on to this and they're like, oh yeah, this is a great idea, let's do it. When I saw one yesterday, I think it was Capital One, Capital One 360. I was looking at their, it's almost every other post they have a fill in the blank, and after a while it just gets a bit too samey. So
right.
It's like, you know, you want to mix it up. But yeah, I love to do that. Gosh, one of my open-ended questions, I maybe do maybe once a week or every 10 days. And I just ask my Facebook fans, how often do you email your subscribers? And that got some nice engagement.
Good.
You know,
so we should keep doing that for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now another thing that we've seen a lot in the news feed is these kind of squirrely posts where you won't believe what this person did next. You know what I mean? And they'll show a picture of someone standing on the edge of a cliff or something. I mean, like, I don't know how to describe these things, but hasn't Facebook kind of shut the coffin on this particular style of post? You know what I'm
Correct.
Talking about? Okay.
Yeah. They call them clickbaiting. Clickbaiting. OMG, you'll never guess what happened next. And it's a psychological thing.
I'm so glad.
I know.
So marketers, if you're using those things, that could hurt you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to get the kind of exposure. Are there any other, one thing that I heard recently, Mari, and maybe you can confirm this, but maybe this is only at the personal Facebook level, but it seems like whenever anybody gets married or has a baby, that all of a sudden their posts get really high in the newsfeed. And it seems as if Facebook is watching for the words congratulations or congrats and somehow boosting those into the feed. Does this also apply to businesses? And is there a possible, hey, we're celebrating our 5th anniversary or this or that kind of post that we ought to consider doing as a brand? And will that help us at all? I'm curious what your thoughts are.
That's such a great question, Mike. I mean, I 100% agree with you. I've seen the same thing, experienced the same thing. There's definitely trigger words from a personal profile standpoint that Facebook really wants to emphasize. Look, this is why we're existing, is to get those personal connections and those landmark milestones in our lives. But from a business perspective, not sure about that. I mean, a brand would have to experiment. There's just so many components, right? There's just, yeah. who knows, it'd be worthwhile experimenting, but you know, careful of stuffing it too much with
Even profile a fan of the week or a fan of the month, and maybe a lot of people are actually getting excited about that and congratulating that person, and perhaps that might, I don't know, make a difference in their own little network. I don't know.
Somehow you're going to find a way to weave in the word marry and baby and wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure we want to go down that path, so to speak. Right. Let's talk about the Facebook save feature. There's a lot to talk about here. First of all, what is it?
Okay, it's a way that allows people now, to users on Facebook, mobile or desktop, to save links. And this is a long-awaited feature because people were trying like all kinds of crazy workarounds. I know for me, I have so many screenshots that I just take a screenshot on my mobile device, or a lot of people, they would share the post and have it set to me only, or they'd have a secret group with only them as a member and they'd share posts. So these were all these kind of cumbersome workarounds to to save content that you wanted to read later. So Facebook came along with this wonderful new feature, and if a post has a link in it, it's just a tiny little gray drop-down arrow in the right-hand corner of a post, desktop or mobile, and you can save the link. And now people are like, well, where do I then go and view my saved links? Well, over on the left-hand side, we've got your favorites, pages, interests, apps, groups, etc. You should see a new little item there in your bookmarks called saved. I got mine I've got mine favorited and added to the top of my list. At first, it was only those, what we were talking about earlier, only the native link posts could get saved. But I've since seen that Facebook have kind of quietly upgraded it. And now any post that has a link in it, whether it's a video or a photo or a status update, however it's done, you can save the link. Even if a post has multiple links in it, you can save all the links.
And can you view the saved things on the mobile, or is it only a desktop side viewing, or what's your thoughts on
that? Yeah, both.
Interesting. And what's the upside of this? Because part of me thinks, as a marketer, I want people to act right away. And if they save it, it's like bookmarking it, and they'll probably never come back to it. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
Well, the day the feature came out, you know, I jump right in there as a user and I start saving things, and you can save. Also, they have things like books or movies, TV shows, events. Now, I'm just looking at my saved items right now. I have 3 places, 1 book, and 51 links. I think I've come back maybe once or twice. However, guess what? The good news is, because Facebook, they obviously anticipated this as an issue, periodically, they are going to take some of your saved items and push them back into the newsfeed.
Oh, very interesting. I was wondering about whether they'd notify you, hey, don't forget to look here.
Yep, they do that. Now, the cool thing, too, is they're all private. Now, you're also, to differentiate, you're not saving the actual post, which is kind of a bummer. You're just saving the link in the post. So it really is like a bunch of bookmarks. But I've seen several times now Facebook will put several of my saved links back into my newsfeed for me. And it is kind of cool as I do go back and go, oh, yeah, I wanted to read that.
Well, I would imagine from a marketer's perspective, if we find something interesting in our newsfeed, like a funny video, and we're on our mobile, we could save it later and post it down the road onto our Facebook page if we decide to want to do that, right? Or we could buffer it or whatever. And there's an advantage from a curation perspective that I think could be pretty interesting. But you're saying it's just the link. It doesn't give you the context of where it came. It's the destination link that gets saved into the save feature. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, but it does show you via. It has this little thing via, like you'll see.
Like
it
the
tells you the person or place of where you saved it.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Now, have you found yourself using it much? And does it impact the algorithm? Like, do you encourage people to say, hey, don't forget to save this if you don't have time to look at it? And do you think that has any news feed preference value there?
My educated guess is that it might have a tiny little fraction of a difference and give more priority to links that are saved. Right now, we don't have any access to metrics. So as a publisher of content, we don't know who's saving or how many people are saving. But I do periodically, I will absolutely remind my fans, please go ahead and here's how you save. You know, if you're on mobile or desktop, just hover or tap and click that little arrow and hit save. And then I'll be like, no, and here's how to go back and get your saved items. I just have a little like 2 or 3 sentences and I copy and paste it onto to many of my posts.
Very interesting. Okay, video. Personally, for me, my newsfeed is dominated by video, and sometimes there's more than others. First of all, does Facebook kind of know that I like videos and farm up videos for me? I'm just curious what your thoughts are on this. Or do you think that videos get preferential treatment? I'm just wondering.
What happens really fascinating, actually, there's over 100,000 factors that go into the newsfeed ranking algorithm. It's just mind-boggling, and we only know maybe a dozen or so of them. One of which is, if you tend to play videos, you will see more videos. If you click and open up photos, Facebook will show you more photos. If you comment on status updates, you'll see more status updates. So we're actually training it. Now, interestingly enough, we have the autoplay, and it's just, again, that psychology. We're drawn in. We see the movement on our screen. Oh my gosh, what is this video? And we hit play, and we unmute the video, and we, before we know it, we're watching it. So it's just brilliant. And again, so see, here's Facebook's going head to head with YouTube, because some of the changes that have just been introduced are stats. We are now able to view the stats on, to see the stats on the views, how many people have actually viewed the video on Facebook. So from a marketer standpoint, if you've got video content, absolutely want to have video content, micro ideally, just a minute or a minute or less even, little tips. And you would upload that to YouTube and to Facebook, and just get more mileage out of it.
Okay. This is a bunch of questions that you've spawned. First of all, it seems in the past when you would paste in a YouTube link that the video would be playable inside of the newsfeed. But I think if I'm not mistaken, and maybe it's just on mobile, I can't with a YouTube video hit play and play it in stream. It actually pops it up into a different thing, doesn't it? Or is it?
Yeah, it does. It pops. It opens up in your YouTube app.
So they're actually giving preferential treatment, aren't they, to video that is uploaded versus video that is linked in from Vimeo or YouTube, right?
Correct. Yep.
So that's important for people to understand. If you want to increase the chances that video will have an impact on your fans, then you're going to have to actually upload the video directly into Facebook, right?
Yeah, because YouTube, you can play it. If you paste the YouTube link in, it will play on desktop. However, we got to keep in mind that 75% of Facebook's users are accessing the site via mobile.
Now, the autoplay, do you think that the reason why the Ice Bucket Challenge was so popular was because of this autoplay feature? I'm just curious. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I mean, that probably had an impact on it, but I think there was so many other factors. Just, it was easy to do. It was selfless. So there was, a charity involved, those kinds of things. It was simple. People wanted to take on the challenge. But yeah, I think that the Ice Bucket Challenge put micro video on the map. I think people figured out how to use the video camera feature on their smartphones that hadn't ever done so before, figured out how to load up videos to YouTube and to Facebook. And so now it's like, oh, well, that's cool. Now I know how to do that. I think I'll do it some more. And so that's, if you look at your newsfeed, majority of the videos we see tend to be from friends. I don't actually see that many videos from pages.
Well, does it make sense for us to experiment as a brand? I mean, we are sharing interesting videos, that are very popular on Facebook via our page. Sometimes they're entertaining more than anything else. But does that make sense to do that as a brand? I'm curious, or as a Facebook page manager?
I would. Yeah, I would definitely. And I keep an eye on people like Ellen, the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and she uses video in so many of her posts as like a little teaser. And the other awesome feature, other than being able to see the view count, is a call to action button. So we can actually now program that in. We can actually say, we want this to be for click through to our website or to watch more videos on YouTube or your page or a site place on your page, just different things like that. So
how does that work? Does that just appear at the end of the video, or can you determine where can you, do you have any, like, for example, on YouTube, you have a lot of control over exactly what it says, what it looks like. Is that not the case with Facebook, or is it just,
it's always the end. It's always the end, but who knows? This is just the beginning,
right?
Video views have exponentially gone up, over the last 6-12 months on Facebook. So yeah, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to be seeing on video features for Facebook.
What percentage of Facebook users, in your opinion, are accessing via mobile?
75%.
Holy cow. Yeah. So, yes, it
seems like 800 million.
So given the fact that so many people are doing it, even likely just even, you know, in their office or in their home, they just pull up their mobile device because it's convenient and maybe they see the notifications on the app. Is there something in particular we need to be thinking about when it comes to video and mobile users? Or said another way, is there such a thing as mobile optimized videos? What are your thoughts?
There probably are mobile optimized videos, because I think
shorter videos. You know, you talked about this micro video concept. I mean, is this all kind of playing into the same idea?
Well, micro video, you know, Vine, owned by Twitter, right? They kind of put it on the map with 6 seconds, and then along came Facebook with Instagram. They have to do things a little bit bigger and better, and they did the 15-second videos. Well, 15 seconds is awesome, and there's some crazy good marketers doing some good stuff on Instagram. You actually can say a lot in 15 seconds, and there's just something magical, because since whenever, the 1950s or whatever, 60s, we've had television, and you see a little screen with movement, with people inside your little piece of technology. Our brains are like wired to go, what is that? Click, play. Before you know it, you're drawn right in.
Interesting.
So yeah, mobile optimizer probably are, in terms of resolution and whatnot. I have seen a little bit of pushback from people that are just not too keen on the whole autoplay. You can turn that off. You can turn it off on desktop and mobile. There's a settings to do that, to disable it. And for some people, it might be using up their data plan, which is, I don't blame them for being upset about that.
Let's talk about Atlas. I know that recently you've been talking about what Atlas is. First of all, describe to everybody what Atlas is and why marketers should pay attention.
Okay, it's an ad serving and measurement service for what Facebook are calling people-based marketing. So, you know, you're familiar with this, how you go and visit a website and it's got cookies enabled, and then you come back to Facebook and you see an ad for the very thing that you were just
Remarketing, we call it.
So it's remarketing. So that's all done by cookies. Well, cookies really don't work very well on mobile, or even at all. We were just saying you got 75% of Facebook users are using through mobile, so it's really hard to get that granular targeting, but and also tracking to see, okay, well, who's actually seeing and consuming our Facebook ads. So now Facebook they bought Atlas from Microsoft last February of 2013, and they've been rebuilding it from the ground up. Is in essence, it's similar to Google's Double Click, and it's going to be a display ads that the advertisers can buy on Facebook and anywhere on the web that will be tracked through people's Facebook accounts. See what I'm saying?
Interesting.
It's not tracked through cookies. It's not tracked through cookies. It's tracked through user accounts, which can be tracked through mobile. It's brilliant. It's absolutely genius.
Interesting. So what I hear you saying is the common denominator here is the fact that people have a Facebook account on mobile and on desktop, and they can probably anonymously connect those two things together in the way that a cookie cannot do. And therefore they can serve up if I'm shopping for cowboy boots on my desktop computer, and then I go home on my mobile device, they know it's still me, and they might serve up some ads for cowboy boots. That's what I hear you saying, right?
That's absolutely right.
Not that I wear cowboy boots, I don't. But
I was just going to say, you know, you give me an idea for a present for you.
But that's the gist of what I hear you saying, which is pretty powerful.
Yeah. It's so awesome.
Where are we at with this thing? I mean, is it only available right now to big brands, or what's going on with that?
Big brands, yeah, big brands, and through major agencies that are partnering up. But what Facebook is doing, they're in discussions with a group of key partners and publishers to get Atlas baked into the platform. So, of course, Instagram is one of the first platforms to get that fully integrated. So, and you know that Instagram advertising is going to be coming on full on more in the next year.
It's scary to think about how much they know about us, isn't it?
It's insane, I know. I mean, every now and again I think about it.
It's a marketer's dream and it's a consumer's nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. And just a quick plug for offline sales, because that's one of the things this Atlas thing is going to be able to do, is possibly tying online ads, whether desktop or mobile consumed, into offline. Let's say you go to buy something at a store and the store says, gets your email address. You plug in your email address, the store does, you know, and they can do that through like custom audiences and whatnot, and Facebook will match it up. It's just the exact same way as custom audiences. So you can actually see with your offline sales how they are being you know, affected by ads, digital ads.
Awesome. Well, Mari, I know that we've just scratched the surface of all the crazy changes coming from Facebook, and it's pretty phenomenal what we see going on. Where can people discover more about you and all the things you've got going on?
Oh, pretty much my website, marismith.com, and I'm very active every day on my Facebook page, facebook.com/marismith, and on Twitter, twitter.com/marismith, or just Google me.
Mari, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of that interview and out of this particular show. If there's anything that we mentioned and you just didn't happen to catch it because maybe you're out driving or walking or, you know, on a tractor, I don't know. Don't worry. We take all the notes for you. You can get all the show notes in detail at socialmediaexaminer.com/115. That's 115. Yes, that's crazy. We've done 115 episodes. Also, never miss a future episode of this show. If you're new to the show and you're not already a subscriber, obviously it's free. Just hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast player you're listening to us on, and that way you'll never miss a future episode. Also, do not forget to check out Social Media Marketing World 2015. We've got significant discounts going on right now. SocialMediaWorld15.com to find out more details. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you next week. I hope you make the absolute best out of your day, and may social media continue to change your world.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Thanks for hanging out a bit longer. You might have noticed there's just a couple more minutes left on this particular episode of the podcast. Well, I decided to add in a segment that I initially decided to cut, and it was a discussion that Mari and I had about Elo or Elo, depending on who you ask, which is this new social network that's supposed to be the anti-Facebook network. So it's a bit of a rant, but I thought you might appreciate our thoughts on this. So thanks for sticking around. Here we go. So Mari, what are your thoughts on this new network called Elo or Elo? I think it's called Elo, and people are kind of describing it as the anti-Facebook. Can you kind of share with me what your thoughts? I know you're probably a little biased because you're such an expert on Facebook, but you know, I'd love to hear what you think about this network and whether you think it's a threat or if we should even pay attention to it.
Yeah, well, it's not even so much that I'm so biased about Facebook. It's just that that's where the masses are. And so long as our close friends, our family members, our customers, our prospects, so long as they are using Facebook every day, then we as marketers, we have to stay there. We have to stay active. I don't see at any time in the near or even distant future there will be any platform that can come anywhere near close to what Facebook's already established. They've got a 10-year lead and a 1.3 billion user base lead. I have looked a little bit at Elo. I think it's wonderful. I think there's a great, it's wonderful insofar as it is meeting a need for a niche audience. Another one that's fairly new is called Nextdoor. It's kind of like a virtual neighborhood watch. It's you know, social networks for your local neighborhood. And so I have seen always, for a long time, I've seen a need for niche social networks. Are they ever going to be a threat to Facebook? Absolutely not. Should you pay attention as a marketer? Yeah, half an eye, half an eye. Other than that, just, you know.
Well, you know, let's rant for a little bit here, because okay. I think that I'm going to tell you my opinion. I think that there's always room for niches. Don't get me wrong. I think there's probably a million little tiny networks that are focused on every community you can imagine that we probably don't even know about. And I applaud that. But if you're going to try to take on a huge network like Facebook, first of all, I think you have to have some unique value proposition that's different other than we're not Facebook and other than we're never going to take advertising. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I totally agree. I think they're dreaming. It's just whatever. You know, people are angry because they've ads. Well, hello, Facebook's been free forever. You know, and the ads are getting better. I actually quite like the ads I on my mobile. And I know maybe I'm an anomaly, but I swipe through and I actually consume a lot of ads and I discover a lot of cool things, like free white papers or new apps or.
Well, you know, and the other side of it is, what about Google Plus? I mean, look, Google Plus doesn't have any ads as far as I know. And they've spent, they probably have had hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of engineers working on it for years. And they have developed a really slick, unique user interface. And they are still struggling to catch up with Facebook. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, That just shows you what kind of road is ahead for these guys. And I think that so many of us get into this, we don't want to miss the bandwagon, right? I want to reserve my name, you know? I want to get in now to reserve my name before it's too late. There's only 5 invitations that I can give away. I think we get stuck into this this land rush mentality that is just kind of artificially fabricated to get people to have this kind of reaction. If everyone's talking about it, therefore it must be good. I don't know. What do you think?
It's so true. It's so, this whole invite only exclusivity, it's like everybody wants to be a member of a club that they can't get into, even if they don't know anything.
Now, look,
about
we could both be wrong, and years from now, you could come back to this podcast and say, "See, I told you so." But, you know, I don't find the user interface to be spectacular. I don't understand the value proposition. And I know for myself, I can barely manage the social networks that I'm part of today. And yep. I'm with you. I think that we need to be where it's best for our business. And if you have a lot of spare time and you have a common name like Smith, but you know, Mari is an unusual name, you know, maybe you should go over there and reserve your namesake. But I'm not rushing out to reserve my namesake. I am not concerned that I'm going to miss out on anything. And I really don't think there's any rush, because just remember how many times we've gone through this game, right, in the last 5 years. Anybody remember Quora? You know, and everybody was talking about how that was the next big thing, and now nobody talks about it anymore. You know, and the list goes on and on of all these other social networks that have come and gone. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't try to develop a new social network, but if you're going to go and try to be like, you know, a huge network, then you better have some special, unique value proposition, not we're the anti-Facebook. That's my 2 cents.
100% agree. I totally do. And then as a marketer, should you get involved or not? Should you be jumping on board? I'm going to just quote our dear friend Jay Baer. And he basically says, don't get involved in a platform unless you can do it right. And, you know, so hats off to you. You got the resources and the time and the inclination, then go for it. Otherwise, Mike and I will be focused on Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn, maybe a bit of Google+.
There you go. In that order, probably.
Yeah.
Mari, exactly. Thank you again. Yeah. Thank you again for your insight on this.
You bet. My pleasure.
Want more good stuff? Sign up for our top-notch social marketing newsletter. We deliver it straight into your inbox 3 days a week. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.